Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the podcast. This is one of Mind and Mel's special episodes. So it's not a Harmony Inspired Health episode. It is an Evolution to Your Higher Self episode that me and Mel are co-hosting together. I love these conversations because they're just so raw. They're so real. They're just absolute soul chat. So we're so happy if you are streaming in live from the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood and joining us in there. Or if you're listening to it on the podcast, whatever is your favorite way to absorb all of the wisdom, information, and laughs. So, hey, Mel, how are you?
Good, Harmony. How are you?
I am good. As you know, Mel, I have I've been moving this week, and I forgot how much of a bigger job it is. But I do want to give a shout out to the beautiful Mel because she has moved many times and still she's come and helped me. She's like, girlfriend, I'm coming to help you move. I'm going to help you pack boxes. I'm going to help you. And I'm like, dude, you are a better friend than I. After going through this experience again, I'm like, if my friends are moving, maybe help you for a few hours, but I'm not going to offer every day. It is so such a big job. And the unpacking, I feel, is almost even worse. It's just like, yeah. So thank you. Shout out to Mel for being such a beautiful soul and helping me move into my new place.
You're so welcome. So next time I move, Harmony, I won't put you through the chaos of unpacking or packing, but you will have to take me for a nice bushwalk so I can just like get out and just like get back grounded again.
I'll totally do that. And no, seriously, if you ever have to move, I'm happy to come and lift a few heavy things because at least I get a workout out of it as well. I'm like all bruised and battered though. I've got like scratches up my arm. So is my husband. I'm like, it looks like we've been like belting each other. Like we look terrible at the moment.
Black and blue, but your house is absolutely gorgeous and I can't wait. We're going to hold the ISOL, which is that later this year there, and it's absolutely gorgeous. You guys would have seen it all over Harmony's Instagram page, so I'm really exciting for you to host that ISOL there in November. I can't wait.
Yes, I can't wait either. Doing the beautiful breathwork certification, overlooking the lake or the pool. It's going to be amazing. And we'll also be running a few of our business and beyond meetups. I think we're going to be changing the name to Business and Bubbles because we might be serving some mimosas. So that'll be a lot of bubbles. Yeah. So we're going to have lots of fun using the space, which, yeah, when I had the vision of designing the house, it was obviously for our family, but also to be able to host some beautiful day retreats and events. And yeah, so it's been designed with that in mind as well. So we're looking forward to bringing you some of those. But we actually have secured a spot for our in-person retreat in March of 2024. We're so excited and we'll be sharing some more information about that as we go. But today we are going to be talking about awakening the mind-body-spirit connection with Ayurvedic principles. So for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, my name is Harmony and I'm an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, where we certify women to become holistic women's and Ayurveda health coaches. And we also offer a Vedic trauma-informed breathwork certification as well. And the beautiful Mel, over to you.
Hey everyone, I'm Melissa. I am a holistic trauma-informed life coach. So I really help that high-functioning woman to be able to heal that trauma, to be able to step in and just smash out whether they're in business or their career and feel really empowered to be able to do that.
Yes, you do. And I have a background as well in clinical, like allopathic medicine. So Mel and I together, we really bridge the gap between modern medicine and Eastern medicine. And we bring in the essence of spirituality. We bring in the essence of science and everything that really makes holistic health whole. So that's what I love, like our conversations and our chats. That's why we decided to do these episodes, Evolution to Your Higher Self, is because we have such beautiful, deep and meaningful chats that we feel that a lot of people could benefit from. So today, to kick things off, I am going to ask you, Mel, could you share a personal experience or story that illustrates the transformative impact of embracing the mind-body-spirit connection in your own life journey?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, throughout my life and throughout my journey, I was always focused on one thing, whether it's on the mind, the mindset, or whether it's on the body and exercising or the spirit and getting very spiritual. But it wasn't until probably about 3 years ago, I really brought in connecting the mind, body, spirit. And that was a time in my life where I went through the Ayurveda cleanse, and it was so profound for me because it was a 6-week cleanse. And that is when all three parts infused, and that is where the birth of my Vol program came out from that. And then I went, oh my god, let's dream even bigger, and I created a women's empowerment center. But in order to be able to do that, and I was also studying the Ayurveda Alchemist because you had launched the first cohort, and I was starting to become a certified life coach, so I had two studies going on, two certifications. I had this big dream of opening this empowerment center. So it really forced me to bring the mind, body, spirit together. I did everything. I did my morning routines. I did meditations. I showed up for myself. I was very conscious in the way I parent. I was very conscious in the way my relationship was. I was very conscious when I showed up to my lessons, very conscious when I was planning to open up this center. And by just giving myself that time and being conscious, and I was working out and doing all the mindfulness stuff, I was eating to my mind-body type constitution, it allowed me to go into this flow state. When everyone talks about this flow state, it was just amazing because I was able to manifest money to come in where I'm like, I don't know where I have the money, and money came in. I'm like, I don't know how to do this certain thing. And I manifested people coming into my life to open that up. And it was so profound. I was getting clear drop-ins, clear messaging, like voices coming in, seeing number plates when I was lost in like, oh, I don't know. And it just came through. So the profound transformation that anyone can access as soon as they cultivate and create time for themselves and show up eating high prana food, from taking time out to meditate, to be able to move your body. It doesn't mean you're smashing yourself at the gym, but just moving gently, even if it's going for a beautiful mindful walk or gentle moves. And breath work was so powerful in that. And too, when you just bring in those small little changes in your life, it's amazing how relationships transform, the way you parent transform, all the things that you're pulling to your life just start manifesting. So that was really a huge impact in that time in my life. And I did it without stressing out. And I completed the certification programs, opened up this center with such ease, with no stress. And it was just a magical time in my life.
Beautiful. And I think, you know, you're so right. Often we segregate the mind, body, and spirit and work on them individually, but thinking that we're working on that connection. So for instance, we might be like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do my meditation. Then I'm going to go for my run to work on my body. And then I'm going to, I don't know, maybe do an evening chant or however you like tap into spirit for you. Yep. But instead of incorporating the three of them together when you're doing activities, so even if you're going for a run, focusing on your breath and being aware of your surroundings and bringing that mindfulness aspect into the movement that you're doing, when you're washing up the dishes, being really present in that moment. I, even for me, when I sit down to work in my office, I have a ritual to really connect to that spiritual aspect. So I go and put my favorite incense on. I go and choose my favorite essential oil to put on. I sit and take a few deep breaths as I'm getting into my work so that I can feel all the essence of the spiritual nature that I want to be infused into my work, even though work is very like pragmatic. It's work, right?
Yeah.
But I try to connect everything together. And when I do that, I feel so much more alive. I feel so much more present and so much more connected to myself. And as opposed to the days, and I do have them, those days where I'm rushing to my computer, on my desk, I'm like tapping away. I'm, you know, trying to get all in on the moment. My pitta's going nuts, but I haven't taken the time to energetically bring in the spiritual aspects of my practice, even if it's my work practice. So I think being able to amalgamate them all in whatever activity we're doing is the key to being able to step into your higher self. And even through my higher self methodology, like the very first pillar we speak of is health alchemy. And what that actually means from a holistic standpoint is bringing in that mind, body, spirit connection. And I know the mind, body, spirit connection has been, you know, that term has been thrown around like it's so woke at the moment, but really understanding yourself on that deeper level and how you can start to bring in each of those aspects by understanding your individual bioconstitution is key, as you mentioned. So understanding your doshic imbalance in that day or your doshic needs, because our doshas actually always are changing. So we shouldn't get so so fixated on the exact one we are, because that can change depending on our circumstances. So being able to tap into self and understanding which energy system right now needs our most attention to be able to alchemize our health to step into our higher self.
That's beautiful. And I really love how you say that, because it is taking that moment in being in present, whether you're washing the dishes. And I usually practice it when I go to the toilet, because you know you've got kids running around and stuff is crazy. So I go to the toilet, I put my hand in a mudra, and I just kind of breathe as I'm doing my business. So like wherever else busy mama's gotta put it in, we've got to, you know, put it in and stopping at the red light and just doing a little bit of breath work or just taking presence and looking and seeing what you can see and just kind of quiet that up. But I'd love to ask Harmony from an Ayurveda standpoint. So Ayurveda recognize individual constitutions, they're, you know, or doshas as we call them. Could you explain how understanding one's dosha can really enhance our personal growth and overall vitality?
I certainly can, but before I get to that, can I just ask you, do you have a special poo mudra to go on the toilet and do your mudras? I love that.
My poo mudra. Maybe we need to do a whole episode on poo mudras.
The whole episode on poo mudras. But it is true, like if you're constipated or your kids are constipated, we tell them to put their feet on a stool and moo, like it's like a big, like an om, like you can go om or moo like a cow, because that vibration and that downward pressure actually helps you do a good poo. So I can imagine Mel sitting there with her feet on a stool, her hands in like chin mudra or something, poo mudra, going om.
You know, I'm going to be doing the moo. That sounds so much better. Imagine my neighbors, I'll be like moo, blocked out, moo.
Relaxes the vagus nerve. And funny thing is, we're actually at the moment currently running an Ayurvedic cleanse through the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy for the students and alumni. We should tell them, Mel, through this detox phase, they all should be omming or mooing on the toilet. Oh God. Anyway, back to your questions about the doshas. So understanding your dosha is really central to Ayurvedic philosophy and has a profound impact on personal growth and vitality. So there's the three primary doshas, which is Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Mm-hmm. eat representing unique combination of the elements, and the elements are ether, air, fire, water, and earth. So identifying one's dominant dosha allows for tailored recommendations that align with your inherent nature, which will promote balance and well-being. So looking at if you have more of the vata dosha, so more of the ether and the air elements, you may tend to be more creative, more energetic, and quick thinking. So understanding your dosha can help you manage tendencies towards anxiety or restlessness, because these are often signs of a vata dosha becoming out of balance, and supporting your personal growth through grounding practices, making sure you have a regular routine, because that calms the central nervous system, and just calming activities. Because if we know that ether and air element are out of balance, where it's starting to come and filtrate up in our mind, we're getting restlessness, we're getting anxiety, we really need to ground and do some more calming activities. And this will enhance your overall vitality by stabilizing energy levels and fostering a sense of stability, which is what a lot of vata dosha, people who tend to have a lot of vata imbalances need. Moving on to the pitta dosha, this dosha is made up of fire predominantly and water. Individuals with a strong pitta constitution are typically driven, they're focused, and they're really passionate. So when I go into work mode, I'm like, my pitta needs to come out. Recognizing when this dosha is out of balance will help assist you in managing potential tendencies towards burnout or irritability, because pitta can get really, you know, that fire can get burning too much. They can be so driven that they don't give themselves enough rest and they burn out. They can become really irritable, really hot-tempered even, and a little bit fiery. So balancing practices such as cooling foods and mindfulness techniques really help to channel their energy constructively, promoting personal growth by maintaining equilibrium and enhancing overall vitality. And then we have the kapha dosha. Those with a predominant kapha dosha or nature often display stability, because it's the elements of earth and water, so they have a lot of grounding, a lot of stability, a lot of compassion and endurance. However, like anything, it can become out of balance. And so if you understand that your kapha energetic dosha is out of balance, you may then learn how to counterbalance tendencies towards lethargy or stagnation, because these are very common attributes of a kapha imbalance. Engaging in more invigorating activities, such as more invigorating breath work or movement, incorporating variety in their routine, embracing different change, because sometimes they don't like change, kapha, as opposed to vata, who are constantly changing. Kapha, they get very set in their way and they do not like different change. So actually changing up their routine can sometimes be good for them. Keeping them guessing and moving can help with their personal growth and help them keep their energy flowing and maintaining enthusiasm for life. So really being able to comprehend the elements within your dosha that become out of balance, or the one that is most dominant in you, will help you align with your unique characteristics and help you navigate challenges and amplify your strengths.
Absolutely love that. And like, once you understand and start to learn the doshas, and you look at yourself and understand where those doshas come out to play, it is such a powerful tool to be able to go, oh my God, I'm feeling stuck in work mode. What is going on? That's a lot of kapha imbalance. And then be able to kind of balance that out. Like you said, when you're in work mode, you've got to get that pitta on, you've got to get that drive, that passion. So yeah, from understanding the doshas and the doshas that reside in me, like you said, everyone has all doshas in us. It's just been an absolute game changer to be able to navigate life, you know, and how I'm showing up in different areas.
Absolutely. And talking about balancing that inner alignment within ourselves, I mean, mindfulness plays a crucial role. So how can cultivating mindfulness practices lead to better self-awareness and more empowered decision-making? Because I know, Mel, you get your pitta on quite a lot. So you're very good at like being very self-aware, very empowered, decision-making, goal-orientated, which I love. But we also need to be really mindful around that to really align with our inner alignment. So how can mindfulness practices lead to that better self-awareness and empowerment decision? Yeah.
So mindfulness practices for me is absolute key. Like it is the absolute key to be able to shut out the noise that's going in our head, because what happens is a lot of people are living in their heads. They're all in their heads, and that's where the limiting stories come in, and that's where the ego is so strong and we're listening to it that it distracts us from going into our body and connecting in with our soul essence. And that is where it lies, that power to take that empowered step for the decision making. Because once you quiet out the mind by using mindfulness practices, whether it's breath work, whether it's yoga, whether it's going for walks, whatever the mindfulness practice looks for you, all that is getting out of your head and being able to connect back into your power, connect back into your essence. And once you connect back into that power and that essence of your higher self, of who you truly are, then you're empowered, because you know what your values are, you know what the standards are, you know what you want, your dharma, your purpose, what drives you. And when you can quiet that down and keep connecting back into that, then you're able to take those empowered steps. You're not second guessing, because you know your dharma, you know how you're going to show up, you know your value. So mindfulness is such, it's like the key, the golden key. You've got all these little keys, but mindfulness practice is really the golden key to unlock that little beautiful, you know, jewelry box of where our soul lies. It's like the clamp, and you're opening it up and you've got that beautiful pearl in there. And that's where you can take that powered state. So if anyone isn't doing any mindfulness practices and you're feeling a little bit disempowered with kind of decisions that you need to make or to take that, you know, that passionate step forward in your life or in your career, just bring in some mindfulness practices. You don't have to be sitting there and meditating for an hour. Just do some breath, breathe in, hold it for 4 seconds. You know, release for 4 seconds, hold again while you're washing the dishes. It can be that simple. It could be just standing in the shower for 1 minute longer and just closing your eyes and just imagining white light, the water's white light shining through. And what that does energetically is start washing out all that negative energy and just bringing pure white, high vibrational energy. It could be as simple as that. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. So yeah, bring in some mindfulness, because you're able to connect to your soul and then be able to take, you know, bring the pitta on. So go into the vata to bring out the pitta.
Perfect. There are some beautiful examples. Do you specifically have a favorite mindfulness activity that you do to align your mind, body, spirit?
Oh, it really changes, Harmony. And I think we were speaking before this podcast on the cycles that we're at. So really depending where I'm at, I love to pull in different mindfulness practices. And that is why we have a toolbox, and not one practice suits all. And it doesn't suit, like, one practice is best for me. It really depends how I'm feeling. But my really go-to, I absolutely love going for walks in the morning. There is something about that vata time in the morning that is so potent. That is my holy grail thing of all my toolbox. That is just going out for my mindfulness walks is absolute key. Before the kids get up, before the world is awake and that sun is not even peeking up yet, and it's that magic in the morning, that really is my favorite. And my second favorite is the Abhyanga in the morning. So I used to do it at night, but I love to do it in the morning now. I make sure that I give myself 15 minutes to do it before the kids wake up, and that has just been a game changer. So they're my two go-to mindfulness practices, that really brings me back into my body as well.
Beautiful. And just for those who may be tuning in for the first time or don't know what Abhyanga is, could you just explain that to us, Mel?
Oh, yes. So Abhyanga is a Sanskrit word for self-massage. So we really use that, and we use oil. So we're putting oils, depending on your your dosha, your mind-body constitution. We're using some oils and we're just really massaging with intention. I love giving thanks and gratitude to my body from all the way from your toes up into your heads, behind your ears. And what that really does is bringing you back into your body. It has so much health benefits and it's a lymphatic massage. So it's really good to help remove the toxins. So if you're doing an Ayurveda cleanse, that's really good to help remove the toxins. But for me, for being sexually abused, it's been a great tool to be able to feel safe in my body again, but it has so much health benefits. And my skin is like on point, glowy, feeling so sexy and smooth. So
yeah, girl.
yeah, it is. It's, but do you have anything to add to the Bianca?
Yeah, Bianca. No, I'm just for me, I'm so on point with you. Movement, mindful movement in the morning. Like I have to do that. If I don't do that, I feel so stagnant all day. And I don't get that sense of strong clarity through the day if I haven't moved my body, if I haven't, you know, enriched the prana by taking in some deep, beautiful breaths and moving my body in the way that it needs to move, doing some really intuitive movement. That is, like, for me, amalgamating the mindfulness with movement is absolute bliss for my mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. And my other one would be, and I'm sure a lot of my clients have heard me say this many times before, but in the evenings or when I'm really done, like when I'm just really over everything, when I'm really stressed and I don't know what to do, I go and I put my legs up the wall. I get a little meditation pillow, eye pillow, pop it on my eyes. I lay down and flip my legs up the wall and it automatically brings me into that parasympathetic state and just really soothes and calms my inner being. So that's where I take a little chill out mindfulness time as well and just breathe into my body and just completely be there in the moment. So I would say they're my two favorite. Oh no, can I have three?
Sure, I'll give you three. Go.
Three. I'm like, obviously, I love my breath work, but I incorporate that into so many of my activities throughout the day. Like I might not sit down and do like a 20-minute breath work session, but I will be doing that as I'm walking or at the moment unpacking my house, do different breath works depending on if I need energy or if I need calming, which is beautiful because breath work can be so prescriptive to what you're needing in that moment. So that would have to be my third.
I'm going to throw a third one in there too. Oh, really quickly. My absolute, like, the walks, the Abhyanga, and my third that I do all the time is sound healing. Like whether I always have a whole list of sound healing that I need depending what it is, and I just bathe in that, whether I'm falling asleep, whether it's in the morning. Sound healing has just been absolute game changer. So yeah, that was my third.
Yes, sound healing is so beautiful, and we're actually going to a live sound healing on Sunday together. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Love it. Good. So Harmony, I just wanted to ask you, Ayurvedic nutrition is known for promoting vitality. Could you just dive into some specific Ayurvedic dietary principles that contribute to overall well-being and support one's personal growth?
Yeah, absolutely. So like talking about that mind-body connection, and we might be thinking, well, what's nutrition got to do with that? But it's got so much to do that, to do with our mind, body, spirit connection. Because Ayurveda really recognizes that what we consume directly will impact our physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual states. So in Ayurveda, we talk about eating a sattvic diet, and sattvic means a diet filled of purity and goodness. And we know that if we're consuming a sattvic diet, that food gets broken down, even on a very science level, made into chyme, and all of the nutrients, the micronutrients and macronutrients, go on to then feed every cell of our body. So we literally become not so much what we can eat, because if we're not digesting it optimally, then we're not absorbing it. So we become what we can digest. And that's another important thing to know is why our Agni digestive system is so important to have on point, so that we can absorb all of these nutrients, all of the goodness from our food, and it can go on to create this beautiful, strong, robust body because it's nurturing and feeding all of our cells. Nutrition is so important in hormone production. Like for our thyroid, our thyroid gland to function and produce its hormones, it needs certain elements such as zinc, and it needs iron, it needs selenium, iodine. So we really have to look at nutrition as supporting our body and our hormones in such a profound way. The other thing that we look at from an Ayurvedic standpoint is the prana in our foods, and prana is life force energy. So if our foods are sattvic, so they're full of purity and goodness, they're natural, they're healthy, they're full of that prana that we need to then increase our own vitality. And then obviously also if we're eating a sattvic diet, something that's good and pure, that is also bringing in our spiritual essence, as in our soul. It's nurturing our soul and our spirit, because we're filling our temple, our body, our mind up with this purity and this goodness and pranic rich foods. But if you think about, like, if you're eating more of a tamasic diet, which is a diet filled with processed heavy foods or stale foods or McDonald's, KFC every day, you know, all of that ickiness and oil and dampness and heaviness, it makes you feel lethargic. It doesn't make you feel light and good and boundless energy. It makes you feel the opposite. It also can give you a lot of brain fog, a lot of bloating. So our food and our nutrition is so important to that mind, body, spirit connection. And that's what I love about, you know, bringing in these Ayurvedic principles to really weave in the mind, body connection.
Absolutely love that. And, you know, personal experiences often really highlight the value of these principles that you're talking about. Could you remember or recount a time when Ayurvedic nutrition made such a profound difference in enhancing your own energy and your potential?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I think one of the most profound experiences, although hard at the time, was when I did my first Panchakarma. And for those who don't know what Panchakarma is like a really intense Ayurvedic detox cleanse, but it also includes a lot of beautiful body therapies. And the cleansing process is individualized to your constitution or your energetic needs, the reason that you're doing the cleanse. So it's very personalized. But I remember going through the process, and when I was quite new to Ayurveda, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, do a cleanse, you know, cleanse my body, lose a bit of the fluid that I've put on. I was, you know, had been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. I was completely burnt out. And from the adrenal fatigue, my hormones were imbalanced. I had gained a lot of like that fluid retention, you know, that puffy, tired look. My joints and my bones felt heavy. So I was really at first doing it more about relieving my body of all this stagnation. But what was so profound is actually the emotional and the mental and the spiritual shift that happened from the cleansing process. And that really is what Ayurveda is all about, is bringing this, cultivating more self-awareness about ourselves and bringing balance in all aspects of our health. And when we speak about aspects of our health, we're not just talking about our body or our mind, we're talking about our body, our mind, the emotions that we're flooded with, our mental health, our spiritual health, and even our dharmic impact and our dharmic path. And so when I run Ayurvedic cleanses with my students or my clients, often I've seen a profound shift in their career or shift in their relationships, because you're not only cleansing physically the body, but also the mind. You're moving that sort of armor. So we do this through Ayurvedic nutrition, but nothing in Ayurveda is just isolated. So we're not speaking about just doing it and just following the nutrition protocol. It's, yeah, we're following the nutrition protocol, but we're also adding in the dinacharya, which is the daily routine, the spiritual aspects, the meditation, the mindfulness aspects. So when you give yourself that time and space to do this and put it all in a beautiful bundle together, yeah, definitely profound impacts happened. And I was the first time I did it, like, I won't lie, it was actually really challenging, and I was feeling all these feelings, and I was getting used to the that way of eating. It was hard, I won't lie, but oh my God, at the end of it, it was just so rewarding. And I felt like I just stepped out of a big cloud of fog, and I cleared this pathway and this vision for me. And that was so unexpected, because like I said, I was going into this for the very first time, wanting to relieve my physical symptoms. But what I didn't realize was I was actually being so bombarded and with mental lethargy, and the heaviness in my body was really reflecting the heaviness in my mental health and my emotional health at the time. So I found that just so, so amazing. And when I went in to, you know, treating clients with Ayurveda, I started doing a lot of cleanses with people and saw that same sort of energy shift. And now we're actually doing in the Ayurveda Alchemist program with the students alumni. That's really exciting to see everyone grow through that as well. So I think that was definitely a tangible difference that I had in enhancing my energy and my potential through the Panchakarma and cleansing. I think also following some of the Ayurvedic nutrition principles have absolutely changed my life in a really profound way. And that is, you know, having regular meal times, not snacking in between. It's really helped me to stabilize my blood sugars, help me recover from adrenal fatigue, also support my hormones, learning how to eat according to my doshic needs. Also balancing, we talk about these six tastes in Ayurveda. So being able to incorporate the sweet, sour, salty, bitter, pungent, and astringent taste in my meals throughout the day, it really ensures a comprehensive and balanced intake of nutrition, supporting my physical and mental health, as well as mindful eating. Like, I used to be someone who would be scrolling on my phone as I was eating as I was working, but I really make the effort to sit mindfully, eat and enjoy my food. I'd suffered with so many different gut issues and was always bloated, but I was rushing down my food and not being mindful. And when I can actually take a few deep breaths to really help massage actually first like the stomach and relax the diaphragm, that will allow you to eat in a more mindful way and stop a lot of the bloating happening. And so when we do that, we obviously can foster better nutrient absorption as well, and a positive relationship with food. Some of the other Ayurvedic nutrition principles I really brought into my life is eating seasonable. Our bodies are so intelligent. They start to make these certain digestive enzymes we need for the season. And so if we're eating seasonable fruits and vegetables, then our body is more easily able to break that down. I guess I've also done different activities to support my Agni, which is my digestive fire, which is so important in maintaining a strong metabolism as well. And just staying hydrated with water and herbal teas. I mean, I love water anyway, so this wasn't a biggie for me, but definitely being more mindful of not drinking so much cool fluid, but taking in more room temperature or lukewarm fluid as well to support my Agni.
And that's why I love Ayurveda, because it, like you said, it doesn't just isolate and look at one or two, three things. It is really a holistic overview, and each part has such an important role in our overall health and bringing in that mind, body, spirit connection. So, you know, I absolutely have loved learning all about Ayurveda through the Ayurveda Alchemist and continuing learning with all the added lectures that you put on. So it's just so beautiful. There's always stuff to be learning on how you can bring some more, you know, all the different elements, the mind, body, and soul, and, you know, just bring it together for a holistic healing. It's beautiful. I absolutely love it.
Thank you. Me too. I think the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Mel, is you being a trauma-informed coach, it's an integral part healing from trauma in embracing one's true potential. And when we talk about embracing your true potential, that's really cultivating that mind, body, spirit connection, right? That is stepping into your higher self. That is your true potential. So how does trauma impact personal growth, particularly in the context of women in business, or like, it doesn't necessarily need to be women in business, but just women in general, because we both of us specialize in more women's health and women's in business. So yeah, how does trauma really impact this personal growth and this mind-body connection?
Trauma has a huge impact, whether it's something, well, some people go, well, I haven't experienced a big traumatic event in life. So, you know, the big T, the big traumatic thing, or little T could be, you know, just something that you've experienced. You don't realize it's a little, you know, traumatic event, anywhere from, you know, I had a beautiful life and I had all this money and my family provided everything, but you had an absent father or an absent mother, you know, you still, it still causes traumatic feelings and imprints in your body. So it plays a huge role when we grow up. And one huge thing, whether you're a woman in business or whether you're just a woman or a mother, but this comparison, right? That is, if you're looking at these traits, these comparison, why am I comparing or why am I judgmental of another person? That is a huge trauma response. Right? You're getting what the woke word triggered, right? You're getting triggered by a person. So for instance, I had a family member who absolutely triggered me, you know, and I'm like, why is this person annoying me when she's so lovely? She was so nice. But, and it took years, like anyone that I could complain to back then, because, you know, before I was awakened, and I would be like, oh my God, this person, this, and she was so beautiful and so lovely. But then when I went in and self-inquired, and when I went on my own healing journey, I really realized that I didn't feel confident. I didn't feel, what's that word I'm looking for? I didn't feel confident and I didn't feel safe to show up as myself, where this woman, she was so confident. She knew what she wanted and she went out for it, and she didn't give a shit about what anyone thought about it because she was so in her power. So that brought on the feeling of unworthiness, of I don't feel safe to show up, right? So you can see, like, I just want you guys to stop and just think for a moment, who in your life right now brings up that ickiness that you have no idea why that you're comparing yourself, or you have even better than comparison, why does this person annoy me? Mm-hmm. Right? Why is that person annoying me? Because deep down, you're comparing yourself there. It's a reflection of what you're lacking and what you're missing. So, and there's another one, like, especially women in business. Oh, I'm procrastinating. Let's go deeper than that. Why are you procrastinating? And I will be raw and honest, because I usually am and I don't hide things from people. But for me right now, it's like, oh, I'm really procrastinating in my business. I'm like, that load of dirty laundry is looking great, right? And that is a huge, another trauma response, because it's when I'm sitting down and thinking about it, it's, I know to get to that next level, it's inviting me to step up into that next level of myself, right? But why am I scared to step up into that? What is holding me back? And it's some trauma from when I look down back in my childhood. It's I wasn't allowed to be seen.
Asian
environment, you're not allowed to be seen, you're not allowed to be heard. So even though I've done some work on this, now that I'm having to step that level higher and that next level of myself, it's all coming up again. It's like, oh, I can't be seen, I can't be heard. So especially in women in business nowadays, when you're having to show up on social media, a trauma, someone suffering from trauma like that, it can really hinder them from being able to get that success. Or if you're a businesswoman and you're not allowed to be seen or heard, it's going to stop you from showing up and stepping up and delivering that speech or delivering that meeting or voicing your opinion, because, oh, I'm not allowed to be seen. I'm not allowed to be heard. What I have to say is not of value. So trauma plays a huge part in your personal growth, but that is where you really need to work with a trauma-informed coach or someone that can really hold space for you to be able to go, okay, why, and just self-inquire. And that's why I've done my methodology, the heal, the remember, the awaken, is because I take you through to really understand where is that coming from, and then be able, because trauma has a cycle. It need, like everything in life, it has a beginning and it has an end. So when you're going through, when you've originally got a trauma or a traumatic thing happening in your life, the emotions come up. Right? So the emotions have a cycle. The emotions come up, and because it's so scary and your body has not felt safe, it shut it down. So every time you go into your life, like I need to show up to social media, your body remembers that emotion is scared and it doesn't want to finish the cycle. So your trauma responses come in and go, no, I need to procrastinate. And that goes back into my safety. Like, okay, washing the clothes is so much better and is so much more safer than going up and doing a live. Right. Yeah. So we need to have some practices, and that's where a lot of the somatic practices really come in, because it closes and allows the emotion to finish the loop cycle to then leave your body, so you're not forever having those trauma responses. It's not like you're never going to have them, but you're more resilient. Your body has built up more resilient to be able to show up to those quote unquote scary things.
Mm. I love what you said. You just sprayed so much wisdom at us right there. That was so interesting. I love when you can just riff about trauma and how much it actually impacts your mind, body, and spirit. And I think it's so beautiful also with your own awareness, like you were saying, that, you know, now you're being able to be so aware of why you don't want to be seen, or why you're not showing up, or why you're procrastinating your business. And that is such a beautiful thing to be able to do, because it just means that you can work past it, right? It's just an obstacle that you can work past because you have that insight. But for some people, they don't have that insight and they just feel stuck and they don't know why. And then that just affects that whole loop you were talking about. Again, it's another trauma of going through this unworthiness and why can't I do this? Everyone else is doing it. And that comparisonitis, like, it's just, yeah, it can be such a vicious cycle. So having that self-awareness is definitely key. The other thing you mentioned was somatic practices are pivotal in supporting trauma healing. So could you offer some insights on how they, like, what are somatic practices for one? Like, what are some of somatic practices that can help support trauma healing? And how do these practices help individuals reclaim their potential, their higher self, and self-expression?
Yeah, so somatic practices, soma just is another word for body. So when we're talking about somatic practices, we're talking about practices that bring us back into our body and everything that we're speaking about, harmony. So it, when we go through traumatic events, all that does is bring up emotions, okay? And where emotions are stored in our body, like I said, right? It's stored in our body. So just talk therapy alone and cultivating that beautiful awareness by going to a therapy or working with a coach and cultivating that awareness is just working on your mind. So we're needing to bring the mind body together. So we need to, okay, now we've got the awareness, like I spoke about, now I've got the awareness of why I'm procrastinating. Now I've got the awareness of, okay, it stemmed from my childhood. Well, how am I going to release those emotions to be able to then be empowered to step up and not be afraid and cultivate that more resilience to step up? And that is all in closing that emotional loop, which is stored in our body. So what are the practices that we can do? There is such a wide variety of practices, and it's all about movement, right? So emotions are just energy, and it needs to move and it needs to close out the loop. So there is so many different, and it's so individualized, just as, you know, Ayurveda, it is so individualized. So working with someone, if you're feeling like you've got anger right now, because anger is just a mask for sadness, but if you're feeling the anger, that emotion needs, that loop needs to close out. You can't just breathe your way out of anger and it's gone. What's beneath the anger is sadness, but we've got to remove the anger, not suppress it, but we've got to close out the loop of anger before we can get to sadness. So some of the practices could be, a really good one is getting a pillow and screaming screaming into the pillow, right? It's moving your body and smashing out the pillow or smashing out the bag. The energy, the anger needs to be released in a really healthy way. And a lot of people look at anger like, oh, it's a bad emotion. Don't feel angry. And you look at your kids, right? We're being suppressed. Our anger is being suppressed at such a young age. Where as a parent, when you're seeing your child angry, don't get angry. Don't be upset about it. Allow them to be upset about it. I allow my kids, like Zara was having a meltdown and she was angry about something the other night. And I said, grab a pillow. How angry are you? I know you're angry. I can see it. And she was too scared to tell me, like, you're angry? Yes, get a pillow and scream it. And she screamed her little heart out, nearly made me cry. But it was healthy because we've got to release those emotions. So all it is we're cultivating awareness of the sensations that are in our body. And it teaches us to feel safe in our body and bring that resilience back in. So some other ones that we can do is movement, right? Put on some music that I love, like drumming beats when I'm feeling that anger or wanting to feel empowered because I'm feeling stuck and stagnant and in the kapha stage. I'm wanting to feel that heartbeat. The heartbeat is when we're in the belly, that life force. Let's get that drumming, that pitta. I'll put on some like native kind of music that has that drum beat and I just move my body in anger motions. Or if I'm feeling so empowered and sensual, I'll put on that, you know, that singing music and touch my body and sway, because you're needing to release that emotions out of your body. Yoga is another great somatic practice, you know, and I don't know too much about yoga. Harmony knows a lot, you know, different types of yoga are able to release different kind of emotions. So when you're feeling quite emotional in your body, just have a look, okay, what emotion is present? Just stop, do a breath, just inquire, get out of the mind and just feel into your body. What emotions are present? Where am I feeling it? What needs to be released? And there is no bad emotions. Emotions are emotions. And all it's asking for is to bring some love and awareness to it and to be released. Close that emotional loop. So, you know, somatic practices are so pivotal in being able to heal trauma, because it's focusing in on the emotion in the body and being able to close the loop and release it. So it's really, you know, from the bottom up. When we talk about the bottom up, is working on the bottom and then working in your mind. You cannot do it without, you can't just do all talk therapy. We really need to work on the bottom, the body and the mind, and then the spiritual aspect with going, okay, now that's all gone, bring back into our peace and connect into our, you know, and our higher self. So they really, you know, somatic practices, mindfulness practices, spiritual practices all play a huge role in being able to, you know, release trauma and heal from that.
I love that so much. And talking about the somatic practices, I think they are such a life changer when you can have someone guide you through that. And I know in the ISO breathwork certification that we have coming up in November, Mel, you're teaching the trauma-informed modules on that and then helping with some of the somatic practices and movements that we can do. Sorry, my dogs are going off. and just breathwork in itself is a somatic practice. And like I said, it can be very prescriptive depending on what emotions that you need to release. So if you are interested in becoming an ISO breathwork practitioner, please reach out. We're holding our first certification on the Gold Coast, November 2023. So if you're listening to this before the 18th of November, then you may have a chance to enroll. We do have limited spaces, and Mel and myself are both running that program. And Mel, would you like to share a little bit about your trauma-informed Evolve program? Because I know you do share a lot of these practices through your program that you run, and it is so amazing. You've got like the best results. And what I love about you is that you have, it's not airy-fairy. You get your pitta mode on, and even though it's healing from trauma, you have really direct, distinct goals for your clients to go through. So would you like to share a little bit more about your Evolve program?
Yeah, my program is really a holistic, my Evolve program is really a holistic take. And yes, I'm very direct. I don't like to sugarcoat things, because when you sugarcoat things, it allows, all I'm doing is enabling my clients to stay in their comfort zone and to keep buying into their excuses. I'm really here to hold your hand, and we do it from a holistic way. We bring in the nutrition. So I take them through the three pillars of healing, healing your mind, healing your body. And we look at, where are the traumas coming from? Where they're underlying? Was it something that's coming from your childhood? Was it a cultural trauma? Is it passed down through generations? So we really, I take them through an individualized look at where is this coming through? And then how can we heal that? And we start healing and uncovering and peeling the layers off. Then we go through a section called remembering. Once you heal and move all, that is the big chunk of work. And once we heal all that and bring great loving awareness to it, then you were able to connect back into our soul and really remember, you know, what lights us up, what brings us joy, what's our values, what's our non-negotiables, remembering that we're a energetic being in a physical body, and how can we sync our lives back up with our menstrual cycles? How can we sync our life back up with the circadian rhythm, and then and create your business or your careers and align around those energies? And then it is the most important part is the embodiment. Then I teach you so much more powerful somatic tools to remember and anchor in your true self, and to be able to build that resilience that I'm talking about, to be able to take those empowered steps. And like you, once you get into that point where you're like, oh my God, I'm scared, what can I do? And bring in those tools, those embodiment tools, to get yourself back into that empowered state and move forward. So yeah, I'm so excited. I was just talking to Harmony before this. So I've got the Evolve program, which I'm just going to be adding some more somatic tools. I'm going to be adding the breath work in there. And I'm going to be adding in some sound healing and unblocking the chakras. So it's a real holistic approach to healing, and I absolutely love it. It's my life's work, it's what I've gone through, and I'm sharing it with the world.
So amazing. Well, like always, it is wonderful chatting with you. I mean, we chat all the time, but I love sharing our conversations with the community as well. So if you do have any topics you would love me and Mel to cover, please comment below. If you are in the Facebook community, if you are listening via podcast, you are so welcome to email us, and we would love to, you know, bring you the topics that you guys really want covered. But Mel, I was thinking, you know, we'd love to share our wins. We love to share our wins in our community and the Ayurveda Alchemist group and so on. So I thought we could actually start the episodes by sharing our wins for the week. Now, I know this isn't the start of the episode, this is the end, but I forgot to say it at the start. So Mel, what's your win for the week?
Oh, you put me on the spot here. What is my win for the week? I think my win for the week is, I think, really owning my shit, like really going, okay, this is where I'm getting stuck, and calling myself out on it, and creating time tomorrow to kind of work through that and just step back into that power instead of just keep getting stuck in that procrastination, you know, stage. So that is my win. I really kind of held myself accountable and called myself out on my shit.
Yay, girl. I would have to say my win is not losing my shit. I'm with the move and having uni assignments due, having a million tradies coming in and out of the house still, and running a business, chasing after the kids. I feel like, thanks to my dinacharya, my practices, and being able to really cultivate that connection to self. And hey, guys, it doesn't happen all the time, but I feel really proud of myself this week because I haven't lost my shit. And if this was, I would say, like 5 years ago me, I probably, or 6 years ago me, maybe, I probably would have lost my shit a lot quicker. And yeah, it would have already been all over. But no, I think that would have to be my win for the week. A little bit boring, but that's just been my life this week. It's been crazy. So
And that's I love it. That that's because it's like when you're sharing your wins, you're really looking, it really shows how much we've grown. Like all, yeah. you know, us women and those that are listening put so much in our personal growth and our personal development. And when you can just stop and share just a little win, you can then measure like, wow, look how far I've come. You know, and that in itself is so powerful. That should be like a tool that every woman does every week is yeah. reflect on your win, the small win for the week, just, and you just really see how far you come. So I love that.
Yay. All right. So every time we share our wins, we want yeah. you to stop and think, wow, what's my win for the week? So we can all share them together. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, thank you just for being part of our community. We love you guys and we are here to be of service. Namaste, everybody. Oh, and if you have gotten anything out of this episode, if you enjoyed it, please share. Please share with your friends or your sisters. Whatever person you think may get some link out of this, and if you did enjoy it, we would love you to give us a 5-star rating just so that it gets bumped and it can get into more ears and more listeners can enjoy the content. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.